what happened that night.
Jack Mangan
made his greatest mistake. What unknown
deadpan
was born that night? What is the terrifying mutant that strikes from behind the shroud of night? That night of
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Hey, welcome to Deadpan number 145. I'm your host, Jack Mangan. And what you say about my company is what you say about society. Do you suppose Huckleberry Finn was annoyed that Rush never did a song for him? No, probably not. Anyway, we have a lot of good content from you guys. Leftovers from the Gross episode, number 144. And actually nothing at all new. The fuck? But anyway, we do have a new Duel of the Fates tonight. Ming the Merciless versus Flash Gordon. Two characters actually from the same franchise, the first time ever in Duel of the Fates. The drama. It's actually the beginning, the launch of Season 3 of Duel of the Fates. So that's exciting. In the meantime, though, you know where I am right now?
Sitting on toilet! Sitting on a toilet!
As a black snowfall blankets the failed cities on Christmas Eve, the arrival of 99 mysterious steel chambers sets a series of far from blessed events in motion. Eight people become links in a deadly chain that will either tether innocent lives to safety or strangle any hope for their future. And as each part of the story unfolds, we learn that above all things, Christmas in the failed cities is a feverishly struck balance between the constant threat of violence and the briefest, most bittersweet moments of joy. Variant Frequencies presents The Failed Cities, Half a Darkness, by Matt Wallace, starting on December 1st and ending on Christmas Day.
Deadpan inappropriately touches its feminine side.
My second musical moment of note occurred when I was in my second year of high school. Now, you kids today, with your worldwide inner pipes and your satellite radios and your beetle haircuts, might have trouble believing this, but there was a time that unless you lived in a major city, the only music that existed was pop music. A handful of musicians were handpicked by an even smaller group of men and presented to us kids as the only music we could listen to. Us kids were okay with that, though, because this was the best music in America, and we had 40 whole songs to choose from. Heck, there was even this guy who had a once-a-week radio show where he told us that this was the best music. It had to be true. He had taken a survey and everything.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes. This may seem to be a strange dedication request. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles.
So that was the world of my youth, until the 10th grade, when I attended band camp at a small liberal arts college. I can still remember that first night in my dorm room. I plugged in my clock radio, and realizing I couldn't pick up my radio station, I began searching around. As I got very near the bottom of the dial, a station tuned in, and there was this sound. It was like nothing I had ever heard before. It was a layering of voices and effects, and then music. I thought maybe I'd found some sort of radio drama station, but there was no narration, just this amazing audio. I was so excited by what I was hearing that I literally wanted to run down the hall knocking on my friends' doors and get them to come in and listen to this music I had discovered. Only I couldn't make myself move away from the radio. I told myself I would run and get them as soon as the song ended, but 2 minutes and 50 seconds came and went, and the music kept going. And kept going. This couldn't be happening. Where were the commercial breaks? Where was the trusted DJ to come in and talk over the intro and the last end of the song? I felt like I was sitting at a radio telescope and I'd picked up something from another universe. And, practically speaking, I had. This stuff was light years away from the packaged pop I had been fed during the whole of my young life. After nearly 30 minutes, the music ended and a young, unpolished voice came on, telling me that I was listening to the campus radio station and I had just heard an entire side of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. It was a life-changing thing for me. Not just the Pink Floyd, but the fact that there was music out there, interesting, complex music, that didn't fit a formula and didn't sound like every other song on the radio. Also life-changing was the realization I had been lied to. It was the beginning of my understanding about the music industry and how it worked. When I came home from band camp, I started searching around for better music. I managed to find what was known as an album rock station that I could just pick up. And although they changed format about 6 months later, the door had been opened and my musical world had changed. I've since been exposed to a lot of new music and sounds, but I'll never forget that 20-something minutes in that small, badly lit dorm room. Picking away the moments that make up a dull day. Fritter and waste the hours in an orphan way.
Me, Grimlock, listen to Jack Mangan, deadpan. When me not fighting Decepticons. Me, Grimlock, a Tyrannosaurus Rexens. Me not dumb. Me Autobot. Me, Grimlock, love dead pan.
A receipt from Liberty Market for $8. My EVFM badge. A pen. My headphones. Or earbuds, whatever you call those things. A receipt. I can count these receipts. A receipt from... I don't even know what this is from, but it's for $64 in Queen City, Arizona. Where's Queen City, Arizona? And what cost $64 there? SP... Oh, that's my... Okay, that's my slumber parties receipt. I spent $64. a miniature bottle of Purell hand sanitizer. A hydrocortisone spray, my Nintendo DS with Nintendogs in it, a receipt, another receipt from 401, oh, it's Rulabula, it's the Rulabula receipt, okay.
All right, actually, hold on. Before we get started on Duel of the Fates, let's explain what it is, actually, for those of you who have not been around the podcast scene for a long time. This is something, actually, that... got its start on the old Dragon Page Winging It show in 2005, jeez. What it is you take two characters from, usually genre characters, in fact, yeah, they always were, characters from some kind of genre, science, sci-fi, or some kind of silliness, and you compare them, you pit them head-to-head in five silly categories, and each category gets a winner, and whoever wins the best of five categories wins the round. And so we've set up these eight players in a playoff style format, and there will be one at the end. There will be only one. However, Highlander is not playing in this is Duel of the Fates season 3. If you're still not sure, you can hear the battle later on and hopefully it'll become a little more clear, or if you'd like, you can go back to... there are actually two Podio Books releases of the first two seasons, Duel of the Fates 1 and 2, they're, again, they were part of the Dragon Page Winging It, so there will be some references to that show. And there are some Duel of the Fates in past Deadpan episodes. I don't remember which one's offhand. Somewhere around number 54 or 5-ish, there was one with Zardoz. But anyway, neither here nor there. The battle you'll hear later on in this episode is Ming the Merciless versus Flash Gordon. And again, as I stated before, typically we don't take two characters from the same exact franchise or same exact movie. But that's just how the voting went. Ming actually... Anyway, that doesn't fucking matter. That's boring. All right, back to Deadpan and Duel of the Fates coming up soon. Sorry if that's still not clear. Just think of this as like a Terminator 3. You know, basically the same crap as the first two, but not quite as original or as good.
Deadpan, we have creamsicles.
Just a sec here, I'm moving this chair. Wow. Okay, here I think there'll be like a, you know, creaking noise, and then maybe some cracking noises, and then suddenly a great big crash followed by a series of small tinkles.
Oh no! We like some all broken.
Well, I'll just put them back in order.
I don't know which ones are which.
I know. I'll ask the Deadpan. Alright, well, welcome to the Broken Lyrics Challenge for this week. First, we'll look at last week's results. I don't believe we had any correct answers this week. Must have been a tough one for you guys. So here's the answers for last week. The lyric on the first one was, "Reflect on me, I'll be the scene that blows up the sky, honey." And that is from the song Hollywood by Anna Voog. The second one, the lyric was, "Pour the poison in my ear, kill, 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 kill me now." Just to Joe was oh so close. He had the correct band but could not remember this lyric. The song is Stomp Box by They Might Be Giants off of the John Henry album. The full lyric was, "Stomp Box, voice of fear, pour the poison in my ear, kill, 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 kill me now. Free the demon, hear the ceaseless screamin'." And the third one, the lyric was, "The king is long dead, long dead, long dead, dead long, dead long." And that comes from the song Music is Shit by the New Fast Automatic Daffodils. Moving on to this week, I have another challenge for you. Three new sets of lyrics generated at random from my iTunes player. The first lyric is, "Nihilism knocked three times on the ceiling, but the rosy fingers of dawn always inserted themselves into the nose of unfulfilled promises." The second lyric is, "Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear." And the third lyric is, "Oh, there's no place that you can go, you think you can run, but..." All right, I think at least one of those should be terribly easier for some of you. So good luck. Well, did you figure them all out? Go to the comments page for this episode and show off. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. Bed music for this segment is Mysterious Mirror by Porch Cat, found at ccmixter.org. And now back to your regularly scheduled Deadpan.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. No, seriously.
Iconic. Love prowess, fight, a randomly selected rotating category, and intangibles. These are the categories which will determine the winner between Ming the Merciless and Flash Gordon, both from the Flash Gordon franchise. Ming is the villain, Flash is the hero. Let's get started. The iconic category. Ming is as perfect an icon of Western anti-Asian xenophobia as Flash is of Western idolatry of the Aryan-like Ubermensch. But every iteration of the franchise has been named after Flash, not Ming. Gregory Maguire has yet to make Ming the protagonist of a novel. The Queen song would have been better if they'd sang about Ming instead of Flash. Ming. But alas, it was Flash. He's more iconic and also more moronic. FG wins this category.
Love prowess. Flash's t-shirt was sent to him by an adoring female fan. Ming's daughter falls for him at first sight, and Dale is ready to marry him after a few hours. He's no Poindexter. Flash has a few love interests. Ming has lots of love slaves. But if the two of them went out for a night on the town, Ming's hypno ring would get more phone numbers than Flash's hair. And sure, Flash is much prettier, but nobody stays cute forever. What if you married one of them? Who do you think would be better for conversation over breakfast? Flash would still be reliving his long-lost days of football and flying exercise machines. Ming would have fresh new tales of planets destroyed, cultures oppressed, prisoners executed, neighbors incinerated. Ming wins my heart.
Thank you, Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador, to Mongo. Who'd win in a fight? Between Ming and Flash? Ming is merciless and all, but Flash is pretty good with a cheap aluminum sword. You know, as long as he's Buster Crab. As long as Zarkov isn't anywhere nearby tossing him football-sized eggs, Flash wins the fight. Okay, the rotating category. For this contest, it would be who'd fare best after being set on fire. Well, Flash would simply drop the F and the L and just become Ash.
Name's Ash.
Housewares.
A Ming on fire would simply be Charming.
Charming to the last.
Mr. Whipple, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
Hey, hey, hey. Just be glad I didn't go for the mingling pun. This category is a tie. The intangibles. You know, Flash rarely actually succeeds at doing anything in the 1980 movie. It starts with him failing to pilot a plane, then failing to stop Zarkov from launching them in a rocket at Mongo, failing to avoid getting captured, failing to win a fight in Ming's court, failing to avoid execution. Then through dumb luck, nothing of his own, through dumb luck he's rescued by somebody else. He doesn't actually defeat that giant hefty bag spider in the Ewok forest. He's rescued by Robin Hood. He doesn't win at the tree stump challenge, he just survives by faking a sting and thus ensuring that nothing actually happens. And then Riff Raff is really the one who gets him out of that wooden cage. Even in the big damn finale, he doesn't actually fight any big bad guys or do anything to win the day. He just crashes another airship. And just by pure, sheer, dumb, blonde luck, accidentally impales the villain on the wasp ship's nose. Sheesh, he's more like Fail Gordon. Actually, combining Flash and Dale would create Flail Gordon. Anyway, enough linguistic jokes already. Ming, on the other hand, is a guy who gets things done. If someone displeases him, he orders them dead or tortured, and it happens. No wishy-washy moments, even if you're his daughter. My intangibles go to Ming. And so, we're tied. We need a tiebreaker, which is usually another rotating category, and the tiebreaker here should go to... Well, whose Szechuan restaurant would be better? And I ask you, would you really eat the dragon balls at Flash Gordon's Chinese buffet?
You'll go now! You're here for hours!
And yes, forget his porn alter ego, Flesh Gordon. On the other hand, there are many actual Chinese restaurants and buffets called Ming's. Some are even open on Christmas. With grease-stained windows, alarming posters of kittens on the wall, and pictures of the dishes above the counter. Try the General Colitis Chicken. steer clear of the hot hail soup. And so Ming wins the first round battle. He defeats Flash again. He could use his evil memory machine to format C colon on Flash's mind now. But apparently that brain extraction would be finished in about 3.5 seconds. Alright, come back to the next Deadpan episode where we'll have Jessica Rabbit versus Bugs Bunny. Don't miss it. Duel of the Fates, out.
You
are listening
to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
We are Deadpan.
Deadpan
is the way.
A green... These are from the Deadpan pose. A green Sharpie, a brown Sharpie. A powder compact. A container of grapefruit-flavored Tic Tacs. A coupon. That's not even a coupon. It's just a piece of trash. There's some stray change. There's some pennies and stuff in there. Stray change. Oop, another piece of paper. What's this one? Oh, it's a coupon from Sprouts. What did I buy at Sprouts? Avocados and tomatoes and a lot of ground beef and some brats. That's from the Deadpan Barbecue. And the blue, there's a blue Sharpie as well. And that's it. And there's my alarm again. What do you know? It's time to go. Live long and prosper. My friends, Deadpan's the way.
Keyboard click. It is now time to read randomly selected comments from the comments page. Lopan says, Lopan is off for drinks at Sputnik with wind and rain. Rowdy fuckers, those two. LeJohn, some guy from Chandler, says, nipples in rear view may be larger than they appear, so for Cthulhu's sake, walk around to the front. That was actually a fun little game that didn't quite take... Anyway, the Energizer Bunny says, morning, Pan. Got hubby out the door, now to visit with some spreadsheets and listen to the PodCamp AZ recording of Jack. Ed from Texas says, well, here we go again, Ellipsis. Ed always greets Mondays with something kind of funny. Lost Ralph says, walking the floor odd, called for only one complaint, bored, I feel confused. That was a haiku. We had 415 responses to Jack Mangan's Deadpan number 144, gross. And the first of the week was Vanamon, who says, sweating like a pig this morning. And... if you're hearing this, then it's too late to sign up for a team. But the Duel of the Fates teams now, as we have it, Ming has one supporter. So yay for that supporter. They'll be happy that Ming advanced tonight. Flash had zero supporters, at least officially, so no one is disappointed that he was eliminated. Rorschach has two supporters. Otto has zero. Jessica Rabbit has zero. Bugs Bunny has a supporter. Buzz Lightyear has three, and Bilbo Baggins has one. That's talking, of course, about Duel of the Fates, which will be occupying the next six episodes of Deadpan. But also, there will be content. Your content is welcome. You can send me your stuff. In fact, I'm fresh out. I've used the last of the backlog for this episode right here. I know we kind of fell out of the habit during the Flash in the Pan that went on for freaking ever. But please feel free to send me comments and fun stuff. The voicemail line is 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. Or record them and send them to me at my email address, sphericaljackm@gmail.com. Feel free to send in dumbass memories about stupid things that you have done and that you're embarrassed about. Or your favorite dirty lyrics or bad lyrics or just fun lyrics. Those are historically the things we've covered. Also wanted to talk about an idea for something that actually would not really be reflected in this podcast. Of course, we've talked often about on-pod and off-pod. We've talked often about our dwindling attention spans and our Twitter-like communications, how we can't even handle talking for long. And, you know, in previous eras, you know, our parents and our grandparents, and even in the days when there was no official post office, people would sit down and just take the time to write out these long-ass letters that we would just never do. And people would... Novels were just generally longer. I mean, back in the day, you'd get a 1,000-word novel is pretty commonplace. Anyway, the point here is I want to encourage you to... Over the past week, I exchanged a few emails that were just not epic emails, but they were just conversational. They weren't tweets. They were more than 140 characters. And it was kind of cool. It was cool to touch base with some of these people, some friends. And again, there were short messages, but it was nice. You know, they were conversations as opposed to just kind of little tweets and little blasts. So I want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be with another Deadpanite, although it can be. It doesn't have to be with me, although it can be. Just send out a conversation email and just exchange just a few short notes with someone. You know, almost pretend like we used to do when email first started. And you know where I'm going with this. Just slow down just for a minute and have a somewhat sustained email conversation. And hopefully the other person will write you back. I mean, if it's another Deadpanite, they'll recognize what you're doing and can actually have a conversation. Conversation can just be about, I don't know. That'll be up to you. What's great about this idea is that if it completely sucks ass, and if you're not interested, then you can completely ignore it. Or, of course, you know, if you don't have any time or attention span, then you can just pass on this one. All right, it's just a thought. There are a few more thoughts. Deadpan, I have a couple of format changes in mind for the future Deadpans. So that's something to keep an eye out for. I'm going to think on it some more before we go with anything official. Finally, our Deadpan meetup. I believe we are set for the second weekend in March. It will be the March 13th weekend. So what is that, the 12th through? I don't even know. You'll just look at a calendar. You'll figure it out. But you should come out. You should find your way here. It would actually be, maybe we can build on the Deadpan meetup or Deadpan meetup number one, and just have a good time. So contact me if you have any questions at all about it. But I'm sure we'll do a lot of the other zaniness from the first time. But we'll just have more time together, more time to kind of focus on just on hanging out and enjoying each other's wit and company and friendship. The first one was an absolute success, so let's build on this next one. And also for all of you who live in cold climates, Phoenix in March it's cool, but I guarantee it's warmer than where you are. It'll be a nice escape. And an ice escape. All right. I will end this outro babble because you have already clicked stop. We're going to finish up with some music. I actually snagged some horrible sounding audio from my live performance at PodCamp AZ, which was this past weekend. So the sound quality is absolute and total shit. So I apologize for that, but hopefully you'll get a kick out of what you hear. And I will try to procure, as far as I understand, the Love, Long, and Prosper folks, Dan and CJ, were working on getting some better quality audio recordings. And I'll try to get a hold of those. In the meantime, this is snagged, complete shit audio recording from PodCamp AZ. Yeah. That is the end of the outro babble. Thank you all for being Deadpan. Deadpan is the mother effing way. And we hit 415 comments. That's the number I said, right? Let's try to at least match that for this week. Deadpan out.
Swedish Deadpan. Work, work, work.
Oh, yeah, one more quick note. The audio kind of got screwy, so one song blends into another. They got chopped off. Yeah, okay.
Take it home and squeeze it.
Sitting on the toilet. Sitting on the toilet.
Thank you.
99 cents love balloons. Offering wags on horizons. Thanks to Violet's crowd on Mitch. Gunslinging gun, leave the ditch. For 99 cents love balloons. When the sun was my so calm.
Thank you, Stream.
Take it home and squeeze it.